Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Please.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. Or you can be.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to Cabal Empire Exposed with your host, Joaquim Hagopian. I got two articles out this week based on these escalating tensions around the world, primarily in the Middle East. So I'm just going to jump right in. But I want to also say, please give to our Revolution Radio Network. We need to keep going on the air for your benefit to learn as much of the world that the regular media does not tell you. So, enough said there. I will begin reading 11th hour, 59th minute, doomsday countdown. Observing disturbing global events accelerate since January 1st, 2024. It's obvious that the Rothschild City of London controllers have opted to escalate their global conflict now on steroids. The globalist endgame scheme appears to be plunging the planet into World War III darkness far sooner than later. With near 800 U.S. military outposts covertly operating around the globe, three U.S. soldiers stationed in Jordan near the Syrian border were reportedly killed by another drone attack that biased Western media outlets insist was an Iran-backed proxy militant group. 34 U.S. Air Force and Army soldiers were also injured in this same attack. Unwilling to be drawn into war against the United States, as expected, Iran quickly denied that it had anything to do with the American deaths. We knew this moment would arrive when the first U.S. soldiers are killed since the Israel-Hamas war began on October 7th. And we also knew it would be the start of a much wider military campaign where many more lives on both sides would be lost, not to mention the continual civilian slaughter, now nearing about 100,000 Palestinian casualties of war, 27,000 of them as dead women and children, the majority of the dead, 27,000, are women and children, and the majority of the injured, that include up to 100,000, are also women and children, Palestinians. This genocidal nightmare grows grislier and bleaker every single day, and the bitter irony is nobody but the guilty on this earth, controlled by the dark side, want this appalling outcome. The January 17th New Yorker article accurately stated, quote, "The escalation and inherent dangers for the future reflects a merger of crises in the Middle East. 10 conflicts among diverse rivals or in different arenas over disparate flashpoints and divergent goals are now converging," unquote. The U.S. presence throughout the Middle East, uninvited as illegal military occupiers are the sitting ducks in Iraq and Syria, held over year after year under the fake pretense of still fighting Islamic State terrorists. The facts are clear that ISIS, as well as Al-Qaeda before them, are U.S., Israel, Gulf State, war on terror creations as terrorist groups to deliberately stir terror and instability throughout the Middle East and beyond, North Africa as well. From day one, all these U.S.-created terrorist groups are to justify the U.S. fighting more Middle East-North Africa wars for the Zionist Greater Israel Project to steal Arab oil and hegemonically control the region. With this history undeniable, today the United States is no longer the unipolar coal kingpin it's been for the last century, and its now weakened power and diminished global status have multiple enemies growing in both military strength and strategic flexibility, as well as in numbers. It's time for U.S. troops to come home and defend America's defenseless border for the last 3 years. While U.S. national defense of its own border remains non-existent, the D.C. puppets follow their overlords' orders, spending billions upon billions feebly trying to protect borders of other nations, Ukraine and Israel, half a world away, that have no threat whatsoever to the security of the United States. This cold, hard reality exposes the despicable war criminals atop this parasitic food chain that are calling all the shots, blood sacrificing entire populations of people simply for satanic purposes. Indeed, yet another war front has abominably opened up at home on the wide open U.S. southern border. The growing clash between the state of Texas defending its border versus the treasonous Biden government's refusal to secure the border on one level serves as deep state wag the dog misdirection. Yet, simultaneously, The crisis is setting the stage for potential terrorism and civil war on U.S. soil, perhaps triggered by the countless sleeper cells already operating inside America. Critical infrastructure attacks on the U.S. power grid, cyber attacks on banks, the U.S. water supply, and multiple targets threatening the lives of American citizens are already in place awaiting the green light. With the growing number of tit-for-tat escalating events throughout this month of January, and now it's February, in the Middle East, geared toward launching the globalist long-planned larger regional war, we are now facing the precipice of potential World War III in a dreaded West versus East catastrophic showdown. Israel's Gaza quagmire against Hamas has the reckless Bibi the Butcher Netanyahu fast reaching the end of his political life, now intently determined to drag U.S. into his wider war. Meanwhile, without congressional approval, the illegal U.S. and U.K. airstrikes in Yemen are proving ineffectual to stop the Houthis' incessant drone attacks and trade disruption of both container ships transiting the Red Sea to Israel and now U.S.-U.K. Navy warships coming under fire as well as the commercial vessels targeted, combined with increasing Hezbollah attacks and more U.S. and Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria, in addition to recent terrorist mass casualty attacks against Iran's civilians and police stations, and finally, U.S.-Israeli assassinations targeting both Hezbollah and Hamas commanders in Lebanon. Virtually overnight, the Middle East conflict is unraveling into the largest, most perilous Middle East war in history now. Bottom line, the U.S., NATO, and Israel have nuclear weapons along with Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea, all capable of striking America. Within a heartbeat, this global conflict could activate a nuclear World War III. Humanity has never been closer. How we got here is illustrated by the following ever so brief history. The Zionist Jewish money changers that control the U.S. money supply since the Rothschild Central Bank took over the U.S. for good, with the lie that as of December 23, 1913, Americans suddenly had a, quote, Federal Reserve, when the majority of Congress had already adjourned for the holidays. That financial coup d'etat was neither, quote, federal nor, quote, a reserve. From its very start, the so-called Federal Reserve Board was and is the privately owned and controlled central banking system belonging to the Rothschild City of London, head of the snake, the banking industrialist complex, and death cult cabal, a century ago referred to as internationalists. Today, these same bloodline-controlling families still in control are called the globalists, fronted by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, and of course the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and the black nobility royal families of Europe. With control over the global banking infrastructure, after their 1911 sneaky Jekyll Island takeover plot was hatched, shortly leading to 1913's Federal Reserve Act and Income Tax Act, next on their to-do list was staging their planned entrance a few months later into World War I. By that time, the Rothschild, J.P. Morgan, and Warburg banking clan were in the internationalist driver's seat for planetary domination control. The Frankfurt Rothschild banking dynasty has had over two full centuries to spread its usury debtor slave system of central banks built in theft to now use their advancing technologies to seize ultimate wet dream control over the entire world. China's CCP model of social credit scores and today's rollout of the CDBC digital currency soon outlawing cash, combined with the UN's World Health Organization plotting more pandemic tyranny, superseding all national sovereignty, more mandated kill shots, and the digital IDs appear well on the globalist way. All that's left is their continuing engineered cataclysmic upheaval, manipulating multiple converging crises to explode all at once. Through the elite's weaponized divide and rule modus operandi, at will creating conflicts, and then backing both sides to every major war waged on the planet for the last couple of centuries. Satanic money lenders through bribery and blackmail have come to now virtually own the entire world through their selected and trapped puppets. The useful idiot Western puppets are suicidally carrying out their masters' depopulation marching orders. Now they're ready to drastically shrink today's global population manyfold. 14 out of 15 of us are currently in their crosshairs. Excuse my naughty dog in the background. The Rothschild-led internationalists over a century ago let it be known that the Zionist Jewish state was a done deal with their 1917 Balfour Declaration. The Rothschilds using the British Empire's rubber stamp approval to begin stealing the land to ethnically purge Palestinians from their rightful ancestral Palestine homeland. The likes of the Rothschild bloodline and J.P. Morgan bankers secretly financing Karl Marx and the Bolshevik Revolution put communism on the world map as the West-controlled opposition and future global totalitarian control, also leading to their first brazen power play to establish one world government with their failed League of Nations shortly after World War I. But orchestrating the Great Depression and another Second World War, secretly funding the rise of Nazi Germany's Hitler to then use as their fall guy to ethnically purge Europe's Ashkenazi Jews as their Zionist sacrificial lamb in collusion with Hitler to create the Jewish Holocaust while the Allies and Hitler were busy duking it out in the elite's orchestrated Second World War, marking humanity's bloodiest in all of human history. The exaggerated plight of dead Jews in Nazi concentration camps and the enormous human cost of World War II easily spawned their next plan divide-and-rule coups for gaining increased control, creating their West versus East Cold War against Russia and China, again, not so secretly backing their controlled opposition communist genocidal dictators Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong versus Chiang Kai-shek in Taiwan, along with their second, this time successful attempt at the Rothschild-Rockefeller collaboration, their 1946 founding of the United Nations as their next go-to global governing body that by November 1947, the UN was passing a resolution clearing the way for establishing Israel by 1948. Thus, the Zionists cashed in their bargaining chip leverage off of bloodshed of the Jewish Holocaust. From Israel's get-go, the Zionists designated world bully, the United States, to always be the Jewish state's cash cow protector. In exchange, America repeatedly gets betrayed by Israel, stealing U.S. uranium and nuclear technology throughout the 1950s and 60s to secretly develop its own unchallenged nuclear arsenal, prompting President Kennedy's ultimatum to the first Israeli Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, to either cease nuke development or lose its cash cow America. That, in turn, led directly to JFK's 1963 assassination. Then, 4 years later, in 1967, Israel attacked the USS Liberty with total impunity, killing 34 U.S. Navy sailors, injuring 200 more. A couple decades later came Netanyahu's 1990 Fink Bar in Jerusalem post that Israel just uses America as its, quote, golden calf, followed 11 years later by the 9/11 attack and the dancing Jews celebrating their part. That in turn led to the U.S. fighting Zionist wars for the Greater Israel Project over and over and over until today. Zionist globalist elites have infiltrated the U.S. and Western governments over many decades. In the U.S., as dual Israeli citizens involved in the 9/11 inside job with proven Israeli first loyalty. The deep state cabinets and advisors saturate every U.S. president's administration, including imposter in chief Biden's. On the other hand, Zionist Rothschild Kissinger globalists groomed both Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping as emerging multipolar Eastern power leaders, serving the elites as the U.S. West's controlled opposition. The globalist agenda today is to increasingly polarize this world with their fast-track provocation pathway to World War III. Soon enough, operating on three planned multiple theaters of global operation, in Europe, starting with Ukraine, now the widening Middle East war, and soon Pacific Asia's Taiwan and Korean Peninsula war fronts. Short of nuclear extinction, the suicidal West has been set up to lose World War III to the Eastern powers. The globalists knew a long time ago that the West, possessing the world's largest middle-class Christian Goyim majority, posed the biggest impediment to finalizing a one-world government takeover. Hence, the suicidal economic sanctions that devastate the West rather than the Russian economy. The elites engineered kill-shot holocausts, unprecedented border crisis in Europe and North America, orchestrated food and fuel shortages, supply chain shutdowns, deindustrialization, the list goes on and on, implementing nonstop measures intent on drastically weakening the West, thrown under the globalist bus into the World War III dustbin of history. Hence, the satanic elites are currently unleashing their global economy collapse and death of the U.S. dollar, carefully timed with their World War III, more biolab pandemics, exorbitant cost of living and food increases, widespread famine and starvation, all to attain their endgame agenda, massive depopulation. This encapsulated nutshell of history brings us precariously to today's Armageddon clip, predicted more than a century and a half ago by top Freemason Albert Pike, who in 1871 accurately detailed all three satanically driven World Wars I, II, and now III by the same aforementioned secret society bloodline controllers. Aside from the 33rd degree and higher Freemasons, throw in the Illuminati, Zionists, the Vatican, the Jesuits, Malta Knights, and Fourth Reich's Black Sun Nazis as the collaborating genocidal elites operating in secret societies in league with dark side Satanists. And we realize the world and humanity are now on the edge of destruction and self-annihilation. This anti-human death cult has sped up its kill plan because the globalists realize we the people have blatant criminal evidence to convict and bring them to justice. We're on the eve of destruction, great song from the 60s, in a race against time, not only to save our own lives, but also our common enemy is rushing to destroy the very criminal evidence that would prove they're guilty as sin. And collapsing everything amidst the huge war removes that evidence that would be used to convict them. For centuries, the elites have used the overpopulation myth, combined with their more recent climate change carbon footprint hoax, to seal the deal, justifying depopulation of our planet by blaming 8 billion humans that need to be reduced to a half a billion. With their bioweapon pathogen madness, their wokeism, LGBTQ, non-binary psychosis, their green energy Trojan horse, and their overtly engineered, now imminent World War III, the globalists are closing in for their mass kill, rendering our human species extinct, morphed into DNA-altered transhumanist cyborg robots merged with AI mass mind control. This is our immediate dystopian nightmare masquerading as their Great Reset, already well in progress. And the only thing that will stop them is not Trump, the so-called White Hats, nor Putin's multipolar world. Only informed, brave human beings willing to unite in mass disobedience and active opposition for the preservation of our God-created natural planet and our God-created human species. If we fail to rise to this daunting challenge, humanoids on Earth will be eradicated and rendered extinct. This next year or so is critical in either paving the way for our prayed-for salvation, ultimately bringing peace to our long-troubled planet, or its utter destruction. Today we have a choice. Tomorrow we may not. That's the article that I wrote first this week. And now, it's kind of a bookend to the one I just read, and it's called First U.S. Soldiers Die in the Middle East. Each day, the Armageddon fuse burns shorter. Right after last Sunday's deadly attack on American soldiers in Jordan, killing three and injuring dozens more, the White House released this statement, quote, "The U.S. will hold all those responsible to account at a time and in a manner of our choosing," unquote. When a reporter asked Biden on Tuesday, January 30th, if he'd come up with a response yet, Brain Dead answered that he, really his handlers, formulated a U.S. response, but added he will not, quote, seek a wider war in the Middle East, choosing not to disclose any further than that. On Sunday, U.S. Central Command immediately blamed the attack on, quote, radical Iran-backed militant groups operating in Syria and Iraq. While Iran admittedly does both arm and train Shiite militias in Iraq and Syria, Iran's foreign ministry responded to the accusation on Monday, quote, militias in Iraq and Syria do not take orders from the Islamic Republic of Iran. These groups decide and act based on their own principles and priorities, as well as the interests of their country and people, unquote. On Tuesday, when Brain Dead was asked if he holds Iran responsible for the U.S. death, he replied in the affirmative, adding, quote, in the sense that they are supplying the weapons to the people who did it, pressed on this point of holding Iran, quote, directly responsible, Biden then stated, we'll have that discussion, adding, I don't think we need a wider war in the Middle East. That's not what I'm looking for, unquote. Getting dragged into a devastating, costly war against Iran during his election year, Biden's cautious response elicited salivating warmonger Senator Lindsey Graham, who for years has had a hard-on for Iran, is leading a chorus of pro-Israel, anti-Iran, GOP, and Democrat war hawk politicians, calling for direct retaliation against Iran. Senator Graham wrote on X, quote, hit Iran now, hit them hard, until Iran pays the price with their infrastructure and their personnel, the attacks on U.S. troops will continue, unquote. Former Time Magazine film critic turned journalist, author, geopolitical analyst Michael Walsh has a different take on the deadly attack on the Jordan U.S. observation outpost. Walsh maintains that the vulnerable American soldiers failed to respond to the incoming drone because it was identified as a U.S.-made unmanned aerial weapon. Michael Walsh contends that it was a false flag attack set up by Netanyahu to blame Iran and force U.S. to retaliate directly against Tehran in order to ignite the much larger Middle East war that will keep his political career alive and he will be a very happy Satanist. In Walsh's words, quote, it was intended to provoke Washington to attack Israel's archenemy, Iran. The question is, will Washington be persuaded by the powerful Israeli lobby to launch a conflict that could engulf Iran and the Red Sea region in a regional war whilst conveniently doing Israel's fighting for it? Yeah, that sounds like the plan there, Michael Walsh. The bottom line to today's warmongering rhetoric bluster is that the globalist controllers are pushing the neocon pro-Israel puppets into committing suicide with increasingly disastrous policies, plunging the U.S. and West into world war on the false pretense that the U.S. is still the unipolar kingpin fighting for Western democratic freedom. Nothing could be further from the truth. The D.C., EU, and NATO lapdogs, following strict globalist demands, are ordering the U.S. and West to still be used as world bully and City of London battering ram, but this time set up to be a cruising for a bruising. After insidiously sapping U.S. and NATO military strength with devastating homicidal kill shots during the pandemic, DEI mandated LGBTQ wokeism, and wasting their now depleted arsenal on sacrificing Ukraine in meat grinder defeat, the U.S. and NATO is no match for Russia, China, and or Iran. But that's the whole point. The City of London controllers long ago decided that the affluent, most powerful West, with its now vanishing middle class, has to go at their sacrificial altar. This ordered suicide for the West by the City of London controllers is designed to irreversibly weaken America and NATO's self-defense capabilities just in time to insanely declare World War III against the much stronger Eastern powers of Russia, China, and Iran. The unaccounted for billions worth of weapons sent by the West to Kiev were, by globalist design, to be procured by various terrorist groups and rogue states. As reported last week, Mexico's top diplomat demanded an investigation, with U.S. military-grade arms increasingly showing up in Mexican drug cartel possession, no doubt by way of Ukraine's black market. Additionally, Ukraine is notoriously the most corrupt nation in Europe. In the last week, Kiev's security services, SBU, just exposed a $40 million embezzlement scheme involving five high-ranking officials in the defense ministry and a private arms manufacturer, stealing state funds intended for mortar shells for Ukrainian troops. While both Western nations' economies and their citizens struggle financially to stay alive, their criminal politicians turn their back on their own countries to throw away billions wasted on the most corrupt regime in all of Europe. It is despicable. But it's no surprise. Ukraine has long been known as the European hub for trafficking illegal arms via its booming black market deep web trade. But Ukraine also has served as the infamous East-West gateway for trafficking children and women, harvested human organs, and illegal drugs, acquiring the reputation as the elite's devil's playground prior to Russia's February 2022 intervention. Half my pedophilia and empire chapter, exposing in Book 5, Eastern Europe, focuses exclusively on Ukraine, and that was even prior to the war with Russia. A huge reason why the elites are putting all their eggs in their Ukraine war basket is because Rothschild central banks have money laundered billions through Ukraine's flourishing organized crime industry. But since February 2022, the Russian army has significantly cut into City of London's obscene profit-making, especially from adrenochrome, organ harvesting, and child human sex trafficking. Russian forces have severely interrupted Kiev's evil money-making operation, forcing Swiss and European bank insolvency after their heavy reliance for so many years on Kiev's illegal organ sex drug trade operations. Even Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky's wife, Olena, was exposed trafficking Ukrainian children to wealthy European pedophiles. Since February 2022, only Ukraine's surplus of Western weapons has its illegal arms smuggling prospering like never before. This is another major reason why the U.S. open borders child sex trafficking operations via drug cartels in league with the Biden regime, with pedophile Joe Biden taking showers with his teenage daughter Ashley, owning family property in the Virgin Islands just 8 miles from Epstein's Orgy Island, and the Biden compound in Ukraine raided and linked to child sex trafficking, is it any wonder that blackmailed and bribed father and son Hunter's pedo exploits would look the other way, allowing 11 million illegal invaders freely across America's wide-open border? And now, the latest fuck you to the people, pedo Biden just picked pedo Podesta, John Podesta, the spirit cooking invitee from the Pizzagate scandal, to be his new climate hoax czar. Can't even make this shit up. Billions have been money laundered through the biggest U.S. bank, Rothschild affiliate J.P. Morgan Chase, via Epstein's 15-year banking partnership. Busted and paid out in total $365 million in two lawsuits settled out of court last year. The world's largest financial institutions criminally partner with a global pedophilia network coordinated by CIA, Mossad, and MI6 entrapment operations. Whistleblower Mike Gill has loads of Pandora Papers evidence documenting $848 billion funneled through his state of New Hampshire cabal. Committing so many crimes against humanity and children, the deep state cabal is desperate to feebly attempt to cover up the truth, racing to world war as a means of destroying all the evidence as their big escape. So just like clockwork, as this new Ukraine embezzlement scandal is breaking, the globalist-controlled European Union, in blind loyal obedience to their bloodline masters, is now soundly rejecting any and all talk of a Ukraine ceasefire and peace settlement with Russia. EU Foreign Minister Joseph Borrell has the gall to demand whatever is left of the EU's nation's weapons stockpile, which, like the U.S., is near empty, immediately be shipped to Kiev in yet another desperado, rah-rah, whatever it takes for Ukraine, rally cry to help Ukraine, quote, beat back those nasty Russians. In a Tuesday op-ed, insanely urging EU leaders to reject, quote, the temptation of conciliation with Russia, the man in charge of Europe's foreign policy, Borrell, just wrote, quote, these ideas were wrong in 2022, and they remain wrong today. We must not let them shape our policy towards Ukraine. As if the leaders of Europe actually believe that Ukraine can actually defeat Russia, especially after 2 years of losing the war, and as if all the EU's billions in money and weapons weren't already totally wasted on top of this latest corruption scandal forever plaguing the Zelensky regime, on Thursday, February 1st, the European Union just approved another $55 billion in this lost diabolical cause. Meanwhile, Europe is headed into a major economic depression and total self-destruction. It's grotesque observing such evil at play. These vassals responsible are bribed and blackmailed to do what they're told by their masters. knowing they are causing the demise of their own nations and people. Only two EU members, Hungarian President Viktor Orban, has done his valiant best to block further aid to Ukraine, joined by the recently elected Slovakian Prime Minister Robert Fico. They are the only two EU leaders openly against both financing and allowing Ukraine into the European Union. The rest of Europe is complicit in this genocidal sacrifice of the Ukraine population. All these leaders using money and weapons to deliberately prolong this tragedy, pretending they're in support of Israel, are in fact criminal accomplices to genocide of Ukrainians, traitors to their own citizens, and need to be tried for war crimes. Right to the bitter end, Europe's lackey leadership is ensuring that, like the U.S., is destroyed sooner than later, placing all its depleted marbles in the same Ukraine war basket in unequivocal lockstep. North American and European puppets are aggressively following their globalist script, declaring imminent war against Russia and its allies right off Armageddon Cliff. A month ago, the German newspaper Bild claimed that European intelligence warns Russia could attack Europe within a year. It is so obvious that the globalists are demanding World War III with Russia, Iran, and China start sooner than later. A Wednesday, January 31st RT article penned by American writer Robert Bridge is titled, quote, "What's behind NATO's members' predictions of war with Russia?" Unquote. It quotes Estonia's prime minister's World War III prediction a few years away, and Germany's Council on Foreign Relations pointing to Putin's, quote, "imperial ambitions." Boy, they've been using that. Such a worn-out, wimpy weapon that has no basis in reality. Refuting Putin intending to invade Europe as their go-to war cry lie forever is the fact that Putin signed on to the negotiated peace proposal in Istanbul with Kiev only a month into the Ukraine conflict. That is, until the City of London bagman Boris Johnson's emergency trip to Kiev to kill it in early April 2022. Over a half million Ukrainians dead later, the elites know they cannot allow peace on this earth if they hope to retain and increase their power. Thus, everything the obedient West says and does is pure deception, and has been for a very long time. The Robert Bridge piece mentions the 31-nation largest NATO joint military operation in 36 years, called Steadfast Defender 2024, that began January 22nd and will continue all the way until May 31st, 2024. And here's a quote. "Exercise Steadfast Defender 2024 will be the largest NATO exercise in decades, with participation from approximately 90,000 forces from all 31 allies and our good partner, Sweden. The U.S.'s led military bloc Supreme Allied Commander for Europe, Christopher Cavoli, said during a press briefing, adding that the drills would simulate, quote, an emerging conflict scenario against a near peer adversary. Who might that be? With a repeating pattern of large police and military wargaming exercises suddenly going live in the past, like 9-1-1, to name a few, speculation that with Ukraine fast falling in defeat now to advancing Russian troops, This massively assembled NATO force may at any time suddenly enter and begin occupying Western Ukraine. This is the burning lit fuse serving as the potential incendiary for exploding the European war theater operations. To a great extent, all this explains the treasonous DC Brussels policy that still remains so dependent on organized crime cabal revenue worldwide. And with Europe's largest banks incurring enormous losses since Russia entered Ukraine, Western Hemisphere's central banks are able to stay afloat only due to the booming child sex trafficking revenue generated from the open southern border. U.S. authorities regularly, quote, lose track of over 100,000 children recently crossing into the U.S. on Biden's watch, pipelined straight into North America's record-profit child sex trafficking industry that is still reaping bountiful reward for its pedophilic overlords. This is how our world is run. Satan-worshipping planetary controllers are growing ever more nervous over so many of their vile, most unthinkable crimes now being exposed to the public like never before. Consequently, elites are now expediting their plan to willfully destroy America and collective West in order to gain absolute one-world government control over their embattled Earth, exterminating up to 95% of us humans in the process. Not unlike the French Revolution, the wrath of angry mobs is beginning to percolate worldwide, fast approaching the boiling point of all-out pitchfork rebellion, bringing rising levels of global violence and soaring chaos. The only problem is the elites have the bigger guns than the angry masses and have purposely created this current bloody mess, soon ripe for declaring police state martial law emergency to cancel elections and quell the growing planet-wide revolution. This is where we are rapidly headed if the evil ones are allowed to have their digital CBDC and pandemic treaty way. Since the beginning of 2024, the puppet masters are increasingly demanding World War III in Europe, Middle East, and Asia, all at the same time to ensure the complete and utter destruction of Western civilization. This egregious reality is undeniable based on such over-the-top, dangerously provocative, warmongering, quote, missteps dutifully executed by the elite's expendable gatekeeping useful idiots posing as our Western leaders. All these globalist puppet losers, Biden, Trudeau, Sunak, Macron, Schultz, von der Leyen, Borrell, are all complying with their City of London marching orders, taking us headlong into World War III. These weak, slithering maggots are the selected, captured, pied-piping expendables leading their citizens to the nearest slaughterhouse. These traitors delude themselves, thinking they'll be saved, while all Western citizens they're treasonously betraying, must fall on their master's sword to perish in the biggest satanic blood sacrifice in all of human history. That's what's likely coming, folks, unless we resist. Okay, a little bit of a postscript. I finished these articles. You can find them on JamesHFetzer.org. You can find them on IntelDrop.org. And you can find them on TheGovernmentRag.com. And occasionally there are other sites that also pick it up. Like State of the Nation did recently, I think, with my second article I just read. Anyway, let me get into some of the news events of this last week, one related here with the article I just read. It was announced by mainstream media outlets on Thursday, February 1st, that Washington officials report that the U.S. will be launching daily airstrikes for potentially weeks or months at a time in an effort to eradicate the Islamic resistance groups financed and armed by Iran, as well as on, quote, Iranian personnel and facilities. These U.S. attacks will continue in Yemen against the Houthis, targeting Iranians and Iran proxy groups operating throughout Syria, Iraq, and across the Middle East. They did not specify attacks on the nation of Iran, though. These anonymous government officials also claim that the alleged drone used in the attack that killed three servicemen in Jordan was made in Iran. This will work out as abysmally as the Houthi attacks on Yemen, and only succeed in the U.S. being drawn deeper into this escalating regional war that will become World War III by design. These war strategists have to know that all the Islamic nations, not just Iran, will not remain passive during this air assault campaign that may last months at a time. Again, it's all part of the plan to instigate World War III. The two articles I just read, I don't say anything about the third major theater of U.S. combat operations to be in Pacific Asia, primarily fighting China over Taiwan. During last July and August, the biggest ever joint military drills with Australia in history, the Talisman Saber exercises, the U.S. was busily building new stockpiles of war weaponry that Reuters reported on February 1st. There's the break. We'll be back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
You'll never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
I'll jump right back. I'll reread that last sentence that I read. During last July and August, the biggest ever joint military drills with Australia, got a little problem here on my screen. Okay. I hope this doesn't keep interrupting, but okay. Let me start over. During last July and August, the biggest ever military drills with Australia, the Talisman Sabre exercises, the U.S. was busy building new stockpiles of war weaponry that Reuters just reported on February 1st. The operation involved 34,000 troops from 13 nations in and around Australia to boost combat readiness and combat logistics. In its public response to the Reuters report, the Chinese embassy urged Washington, quote, to stop enhancing military contact with the Taiwan region and stop creating factors that could heighten tensions in the Taiwan Strait. Good advice, I'd say. A fundamental question to ask now in the Middle East is how many U.S. troops are deployed since the Hamas attack in Israel staged on October 7th last year? And even more relevant, how many American lives must be lost before Americans rise up to resist this widening war? The more the U.S. military presence in soldiers, ships, and military posts stay in the region, the more imminent a Middle East world war will be breaking out. The issue is more relevant than ever before that the last three American soldiers died last Sunday, January 28th. But Tuesday, January 30th, Reuters article estimates 30,000 Americans in uniform were deployed in the Middle East prior to October 7th. You can figure there's a lot more than that now, but thousands more have been sent since the war in Gaza began. Many on U.S. Navy ships at one point included two aircraft carrier strike groups as a show of force, though as of January 1st this year, the world's largest aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford in the Eastern Mediterranean, grew wary as a sitting duck target and hightailed it out of there. It's symbolic its symbolic, hollowed-out show of force was increasingly targeted by all the Houthi missiles and drones fired at it from Yemen. So the Gerry Ford, reportedly on January 1st, sits a little more safely as a sitting duck now in its Norfolk, Virginia home port. Now only the USS Eisenhower, stationed in the Gulf of Oman, remains in the region. But it remains a sitting duck as well to the raining Houthi attacks. And its air defense capacity has been seriously tested and stretched. A Saturday, January 27th, First Post headline claims, quote, "Worst sea battle in decades. Yemen's Houthis claim missiles hit on a U.S. Navy warship." The Navy denies the U.S. destroyer Kearney was struck, only acknowledging that a commercial container vessel sustained damage, but last Friday's barrage was acknowledged as the, quote, "largest naval conflict in U.S. Navy history has witnessed in the Middle East in decades," as well as the first time the Houthis targeted a U.S. naval ship. Of course, less than 48 hours later, three American soldiers lay dead in Jordan for the first time since Israel's war from another drone attack, potentially launched by Bibi the Butcher to make certain that his diabolical World War III materializes as soon as possible. While the USS Kearney may have dodged a bullet last weekend, on Tuesday, January 30th, another U.S. Navy warship had to utilize its last line of defense to intercept an incoming Houthi missile attack. How many bullets will the U.S. dodge before it's forced to admit a ship has sunk? Speaking of which, in the Black Sea, for the first time since the war started 2 years ago, Ukraine sea drones hit the hull of a Russian warship and sank it, a first using sea drones to sink the $70 million Russian vessel, the Ivanovets, according to Kiev's military intelligence agency, GUR. On April 14, 2022, you may recall Ukraine using U.S. aerial intelligence firing anti-ship missiles to ignite a fire that sank its first Russian warship in the Black Sea Fleet flagship, Moskva. That was in April of 2022, just a little bit after the war started. And after the truce almost went into effect before that pig Boris Johnson, in the name of City of London, ended it. Anyway, this latest incident was reported in the Telegraph on Thursday, February 1st. Though Zelensky's calling this latest triumph, sea triumph, a strategic game changer to entice more dole outs from the West, it will not change the war's outcome by any stretch. As the end closes in, Zelensky's having trouble this week trying to relieve Ukraine's top General Valery Zaluzhny of command. Rumors of discord and dismissal have been on and off in recent months. But now that Kiev's defeat is imminent, the erratic desperado Zelensky may get rid of his general, but the general's backers, which are many now, will soon be probably ousting Zelensky. Zelensky is taking lots of blame as he'll soon escape as one of his many mansions, I'm sure, in Italy or Miami. Compliments of American taxpayers, of course. That is, if his enemies don't get to him and kill him first. Speaking of the GUR, the military intelligence arm of the Ukraine government, last Friday, January 26th, Vladimir Putin went on record stating that Ukraine security services knew The IL-76 Russian transporter had Ukrainian POW soldiers on it when it was shot down. Plus, the weapon used were two U.S.-made MIM-104A missiles fired by a U.S. Patriot air defense system manned by a crew, very likely including Americans. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova stated that Biden and the U.S. are complicit in the deaths of the 65 Ukraine POWs and 9 Russians aboard. She said that the U.S. citizens, quote, need to know where their money is going and that Biden made Americans complicit in a bloody tragedy. I think that's very, very true. Returning to the more serious drama in the Middle East, in recent days, the cost of U.S. presence in the region has risen exponentially. So, the legitimate question to ask is, what is the mission and purpose of U.S. forces stationed in the Middle East, other than as a show of paper tiger optics that does no one but those committing genocide any good? Because this war is not in Biden's hands or control to simply deliver Netanyahu the ultimatum of either calling an immediate ceasefire or have all U.S. support withdrawn immediately, because on the Khazarian mafia pecking order, Bibi the Butcher outranks the senile old pervert Uncle Joe, who gets zero respect from the entire world and was fraudulently installed for this very moment in history to destroy America and the job his traitor boss Obama started. A January 2024 Air Force personnel memo surfaced by way of The Intercept, the publication group, advising those in Iraq, quote, those soldiers in Iraq, quote, be on standby to forward deploy to support troops in the case of on-ground U.S. involvement in the Hamas-Israel war. So they're all ready. Well, they're more than all ready. The White House, quote, inadvertently posted a photo of Biden in Israel in mid-October last year, posing with the special ops forces in Israel 2 days after the White House Security Council spokesman John Kirby assured that the U.S. boots on the ground in Israel would never happen. The controversial pic was quickly removed, but too late to not realize Americans are fighting Hamas on the ground in the Gaza war. Again, the U.S. never left after losing wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and still losing in Syria. Knowing there'd be major public opposition if U.S. troops sent to the region were mired in another long, dragged-out, costly war like all the rest of the designed defeats for the Greater Israel Project wars, the neocons realized it would take a major attack, killing far more than 3 soldiers, to beat the war drums loud enough to start yet another losing proposition of a war in the Middle East, for a Greater Israel Project, of course. But a false flag, which starts nearly every single war the U.S. has ever had in its history, would do the trick. So that is the most likely scenario, to do the devil's bidding to draw the U.S. into another war in this war-torn region, except this one will be World War III, the Zionist versus Islamic Armageddon that Freemason Albert Pike predicted over a century and a half ago. So there it is. U.S. troops will most likely be fighting and dying in large numbers very soon for the next Greater Israel Project war. Yet any cost-benefit analysis would immediately conclude with total certainty that the costs far outweigh whatever perceived benefits. But then, with a nebulous, undefined purpose in the Middle East only to assist Israel militarily, politically, financially, and every other conceivable way, no matter what, The equation always serves only Israel and its controlling founders, and never the interests of America or entire world. It's always been this way, which is because the founder of both the Zionist Rothschild City of London as globalist controller of the world of finance also is the Zionist Jewish state's founder that has infiltrated Zionist Israeli first loyalists subversively, treasonously, operating inside the U.S., the U.K., and most Western European governments, misusing and abusing the U.S. military as simply their weaponized enforcer in the name of Zionism of nonstop war around the world. Again, 93% of the U.S. time as a nation has been spent killing other humans on foreign soil. And for the last century, it's been for Zionist hegemonic control over this earthly devil's dominion. This bottom line reality has never changed, while what has changed in recent years is the geopolitical chessboard shift in power, radically from unipolar U.S. and West to now heavily favored multipolar East. This is the result of gutting America's manufacturing base, outsourcing jobs to China and Mexico and everywhere else, third world, globalizing and privatizing virtually everything to begin shrinking America's middle-class affluence. On the military front, it's been lose every U.S. war by design while deliberately neutering and severely weakening the U.S.-NATO fighting force into a soft, woke wuss, has-been, now incapable of fighting its way out of a paper bag, much less challenge far superior militaries of so-called targeted enemies, Russia, China, and Iran, and now even the Iran proxies are beating the U.S. and Israel in the Middle East. This is what's changed so drastically, and the bloodline elites are fully exploiting this new reality of their making to opportunistically execute their sinister plan to destroy America and the West, per Albert Pike's aforementioned Third World War between Zionism and Islam. This is what we are facing now. Again, per Deagle.com's prediction, looming ominously over us is America's suffering an astounding 80% population loss by next year. That's 4 out of 5 people in America no longer in America in 1 year because they've been genocided as part of world history's biggest satanic blood sacrifice ever on the planet. And it won't be just America that's no longer alive. The entire Western population will also be thinned down and out as well. We must pray to God that the good people of this earth are guided to come together and, imbued with the strength and wisdom from our Creator, can successfully stop this hellish nightmare from coming true. Okay. I will now move on to other news events this last week. Journalist Mike Stone wrote a January 30th article featured on Henry Macau's website, making the convincing case that singer Taylor Swift and her ongoing public romance with Kansas City Chief tight end Travis Kelce is a story of money, power, and fame promoting Satanism and witchcraft to the gullible public. The heavy underdog Kansas City Chiefs won their last 2 playoff games to reach this February 11th Sunday Super Bowl, not by outplaying their opponents, but by assistance from the referees, calling a series of highly questionable penalties against Kelce's opponents to allow Kansas City to win and become the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs. A number of the players' scripted plays are also drawing a lot of attention. The Swift-Kels Lovebirds, as today's number one superstar couple, are being heavily showcased and promoted as enormously popular role model influencers to generational millions of young fans around the globe. No accident, this darling of music is also Time's 2023 Person of the Year. The hyped fan gossip as we head towards Super Bowl week is, will she or won't she attend the big game on the 11th? After four sold-out concert dates all week long in Tokyo through February 10th, whether the diva will jump into a jet and fly back for her man to make her grand Las Vegas Super Bowl appearance has wagging tongues dying to know. The media frenzy is pejoratively focusing on so-called conspiracy theories that she will show up and endorse Joe Biden for president. It's all pretty nauseating, but Mike Stone poses a far more serious, penetrating question. And I quote, are George Soros, Scooter Braun, and the Carlyle Group, who own all of Swift's music, forcing her into a fabricated relationship with Kels in order to further a satanic agenda? That's a good question that I think the answer is yes. Stone then persuasively provides further evidence to answer the above question, offering samplings of Taylor Swift's musical act in videos, which are creepily satanic and highly reminiscent of Kabbalist Madonna, who, along with Oprah Winfrey, are exposed as shady globalist tools in an article I wrote last year. Of course, the entertainment industry via film, TV, and music have long been taken over by the adreno-addicted dark side players. Over the better part of this last century in Hollywood, so nothing new here other than yearly it's growing more obvious at each Super Bowl halftime show. Recall Madonna dressed as Baphomet a few years back, followed by Beyonce's halftime gig with her satanic possession on full display. Don't be surprised if Taylor Swift shows up, even though Usher is the scheduled halftime headliner. Despite pro football star Travis Kelce making multi-millions and not needing to pad his income, the fact that the Swift beau elected to do the devil's work, actually plugging Pfizer's mRNA biomurder weapon, speaks volumes. And then, to rub it in, during the recent Kansas City Buffalo Bills playoff game, kill shot victim Buffalo player Damar Hamlin, who died last year on the playing field before a nationally televised audience, arose from the dead when his imposter took to the field to muff a fourth down broken trick play on Buffalo's own 30-yard line, making no sense other than sealing the deal for another Kansas City win. All of this suggests the NFL is rigged like pro wrestling and that this famous power duo appears to have perhaps sold their soul and in service to the devil. These deep state icons' antics serve two functions. It's bread and circus for the masses as sleight-of-hand misdirection away from satanic power brokers igniting World War III in the Middle East and elsewhere, and as highly rewarded Satan's little helpers, Taylor and Travis capture to enrapture millions of followers and millions of dollars, dancing to in the dark to the devil's tune. The alt-media consensus concludes the Swift-Kels hype is a psyops to recruit young female voters for Biden. and perhaps Satan as well. They're all on the same team. We currently live in a contrived, heavily controlled, artificial, increasingly virtual world gone global, where everything projected through the mass media, politics, entertainment, education, is carefully jam-packed, propagandized mind control that is nearly 100% fake, rigged, and scripted. As a result, a brainwashed population majority in a mind-controlled trance is robotically sleepwalking their way to their genocidal graves. That's the sad, tragic truth, in my opinion. Speaking of our satanic world, the man in Iowa who destroyed the satanic shrine in the state capitol building was charged with a hate crime. I'm going to say that again. Speaking of our satanic world, the man in Iowa who destroyed the satanic shrine on display in the state capitol building was charged with a hate crime. Talk about the inverted Luciferian world being upside down that we're living in. On full display during the biggest Christian holiday of the year at the Iowa State Capitol building, featuring a satanic Baphomet, horned goat skull in a cape and a blood-red pentagram. A Christian military veteran took offense and felt compelled to do the most honorable thing and decapitate this ghoulish head off this obscene desecration of our nation and decrepitly depraved, shameful Iowa Capitol. This is how taken over our government has become, overrun by those working for the dark side, in Iowa no less, a relatively conservative farm state. Very telling of the kind of world we're now living in. Our enemy is using the hate crime, quote, to destroy and silence us from our free speech First Amendment rights. Anything said or done now can be twisted around and easily interpreted as so-called hate speech or hate crimes, a threat by anyone deemed an enemy of the state. Meaning, if you disagree with the suicidal, genocidal policies and crimes of our U.S. government and others, you are a homegrown terrorist, enemy of the state. This is full-fledged Marxist totalitarianism now thriving here in the heartland of America. The enemy has taken over America by both satanic forces from within and outside our nation. Michael Cassidy is the actual hero in this story. Smartly, in his own self-defense, Cassidy is raising money for his legal defense on his Give, Send, Go page, noting, quote, out of the millions of Christians in this nation, Cassidy was the first to act in bravery and conviction. He was not willing to see God reviled, especially in a building where lawmakers are supposed to honor Jesus Christ as king and look to his law for wisdom as they legislate with justice and righteousness. Well, I don't think they're doing it when they got Baphomet in their building. The final death of the U.S. dollar as international reserve currency is coming this year, I'm pretty sure. Of course, I've been saying that for probably 2 years now. Foreign nations are no longer willing to buy U.S. Treasury bonds, and it's weakening global confidence in the U.S. dollar. The U.S. has held the long-time advantage for the last half-century plus of paying its foreign debts by simply having Rothschild-controlled Federal Reserve print up more fiat currency as its means of payment. But last year, when oil kingpin Saudi Arabia stopped trading in the U.S. petrodollar and has since joined BRICS, the multipolar economic alliance led by Russia and China, The momentum ditching the dollar is accelerating by the week. This trend has been gradually ongoing in recent years as less and less countries are willing to trade with the U.S. dollar but opting to use alternative currencies like the Chinese yuan or their own mutually agreed upon currencies. This trend will suddenly culminate with the climactic Project Sandman. Look it up, Project Sandman. A covert global agreement involving over 100 nations planning all at once to switch to another form of currency for international trade. In view of America's diminished, if not plunging, standing in the world, militarily, economically, and politically, Operation Sandman will be triggered this year. The kicking the can down the road to delay and put off its mounting insurmountable $34 trillion debt spiral is plunging us into default. And any day, week, or month this year, Project Sandman will wake us up from our slumber to a waking nightmare come true, with all our U.S. dollars in banks, the big U.S. banks, worthless. The inflation will be runaway, and the U.S. dollar won't buy you anything. That's what's in store. Oh, don't believe the Gazara and Nasara. That's all bullshit. White hat bullshit, Trump's going to save us. That's all bullshit. It's Operation Trust from the Bolshevik Revolution. So we get passive and not actually resist. You can't let that happen. Okay, the Rothschild-controlled usury debtor system of always paying interest on our stolen money from the very start centuries ago was built in never to be sustainable. And we've finally reached the end of that yellow brick road at last. The bloodline elites have meticulously timed everything to blow up all at once, living on borrowed time long enough with this final U.S. dollar collapse. Our common enemy, the elites, have ensured that unsustainable economy, World War III, more pandemics, and mass starvation all coalesce around either a black swan false flag event or a series of them to trigger this cataclysmic explosion that forever changes our lives, not for the better. And just when you thought you had enough to worry about, the enemy rolls out the deadly fungus infection, untreatable with antifungal medication. 4 new cases of Candida auris infection broke out in the state of Washington with a 30 to 60% mortality rate for this one, although healthy individuals are said to rarely contract it. But this is where the vaccinated with their lowered immune systems are screwed. We always knew they would be rolling out more and more pandemic bioweapon terror against us. Last week, I read an extract from longtime U.S. Naval Academy English professor Bruce Fleming's book, published on January 9th, exposing how wokeism has pretty much ruined the educational system at the military service academies. The DEI, Diversity, Exclusion, and Inclusion, equity, I always get it wrong. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, brainwash imposing diversity, there it is, I have it written out. that mandates critical race theory and the LGBTQ non-binary agenda into the classroom as standardized academic curriculum, while differentially allowing lowered admissions and academic standards for Black and Hispanic applicants and Academy students, has largely ruined the service academies. As a West Point graduate, I agree that policies and standards that place more value on skin color than earned qualifications is neither good for the academies nor the armed forces, nor for morale, and is especially unfair and should be illegal to reject more qualified applicants that might be Asian American or Caucasian American, and lowering the bar based on skin complexion. As I predicted a few months ago in an article I wrote, sexually compromised idiot Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts allowing the U.S. service academies to be solely exempt in retaining their affirmative action policy of racial quotas in their admissions, while the Supreme Court banned all affirmative action across other institutions of higher learning in America. It's come back to bite Roberts and his court in the ass. The Students for Fair Admissions, the same anti-affirmative action group that originally brought the case last year to the Supreme Court and won it, on Friday, January 26, asked the Supreme Court to block the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, my alma mater, from considering race as a factor in admissions decisions while a dispute over the practice proceeds in lower court. So we'll see how that plays out. Okay, in the remaining, I'd say probably about 20 minutes, I have two articles that are pretty important that I didn't happen to write this week. And they are Paul Craig Roberts and him writing, quote, "The Biden regime's coup against constitutional America is leading to civil war." I found it on UNZ.com, UNZ.com, on January 29th. I'll read it. "It seems Americans can only save their country and their freedom by winning a civil war that defeats the Democrat Party's coup against the United States. President, in quote, Joe Biden, who is in office only through electoral fraud, has committed high treason against the United States of America. Why hasn't he been arrested and put on trial? In taking the oath of office, Biden is sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States, but he has violated the Constitution, which requires his removal from office and punishment for high treason against the United States. In addition to violating the Constitution and oath of office, Biden has violated moral and ethical standards and, according to abundant evidence, felony laws, from the consequences of which he is being protected by the Department of Justice, the FBI, media, and U.S. Congress. This article will not make the full case against Biden. It will focus on two major treasonous acts. One is that Biden has not only refused to defend the U.S. borders, but also he has worked consistently to keep the U.S. borders open to massive invasion, fully assisted by his regime of millions of invaders who are overrunning American cities and communities. The other is that while leaving America's borders undefended, Biden has unconstitutionally committed Americans to three wars in defense of the borders of the other countries without required congressional approval. That Biden's extraordinary crimes and violations of the Constitution go unpunished is evidence that the American constitutional system of government has collapsed. The U.S. is no longer a republic with a democracy and a rule of law. America is an unaccountable dictatorship in which American patriots are sentenced to prison for exercising their First Amendment rights. Trump supporters who exercise their First Amendment rights of free speech and assembly were falsely branded, quote, insurrectionists and sentenced without evidence to prison, where they still are. Accusation alone served as, quote, evidence. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution requires the federal government to protect each state against invasion. This the Biden regime has steadfastly refused to do, instead aiding and abetting the immigrant invaders who are overrunning Texas and other states. Without any doubt, the Biden regime has broken the contract between the federal and state governments. Biden has openly invited civil war by repeating Abraham Lincoln's violation of the constitutional contract between the federal government and the states. Whereas Lincoln only targeted the southern states, Biden has violated his responsibility to all states. Under Biden's open border policy, even blue cities such as Denver are crying for help against the immigrant invaders that the federal government is aiding and abetting. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution says that the states, quote, have sovereign interests in protecting their borders. In response to the federal government's refusal to protect American borders, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has taken steps to defend Texas's border. 25 other governors have backed him, some offering to send their state National Guard to the defense of Texas. The traitor in the White House said he would arrest every police officer and every National Guardsman who interfered with the success of the immigrant invaders' Washington-supported invasion. In other words, to be clear, the traitorous Biden regime has firmly and completely aligned itself with foreign invaders against American citizens. Such open high treason is complete evidence that the real enemy of the American people is Washington. Three liberal Democrat researchers at Yale University have published a report that the number of illegal aliens in the U.S. is more than twice the number of the reported 11 million. So it's over 22 million in reality. Their figure is north of 22 million. The announced policy of the Democrat Party is to legalize all these illegals and give them the right to vote, in the expectation that they will vote Democrat as the Democrats let them in and give them that power. This means a permanent one-party state, which is tyranny. So, another crime committed by Biden and the entirety of the Democrat Party is the intentional act of creating a tyranny out of the constitutional republic. Simplicus writes about this at length, providing abundant information in Texas Governor Greg Abbott's statement invoking Texas's constitutional right to protect Texas's border. A right challenge by the traitor in the White House and the anti-American, anti-white Democrat Party, whose overriding goal is to replace the American population. Well said, Paul Craig Roberts. He writes so clear and so very easily understood. He doesn't have those long-winded compound sentences that I constantly write. Anyway, the second article I'd like to read is from another person that I have followed for a long time. He's another one of these government insiders. I believe he, yes, was in the CIA. Philip Giraldi. He wrote this article. It's out on unz.com on February 1st. And it's called Israel Keeps Killing Villains and Rejects Sovereignty for Palestinians. No, I typed that wrong. Oh, man. Well, no. Okay. Stupid me. Sorry. I do stupid typos occasionally. I'm a horrible typist. Israel keeps killing civilians, not the villains. Civilians, well, they are the villains, actually. But anyway, The civilians that they're killing are not villains. And they reject sovereignty for Palestinians. So I'll say the title of this article one final time. Israel keeps killing civilians and rejects sovereignty for Palestinians. Over the past 10 days, there have been several interesting developments in the continuing ethnic cleansing of Gaza, as well as increasingly on the West Bank, by the Israeli military supplemented by armed settlers. In one particularly grotesque killing, Israeli commandos disguised as medical staff and Arab civilians burst into a hospital room in Jenin refugee camp on the West Bank and shot dead three Palestinians. The Israeli military said one of the victims belonged to Hamas and was planning an imminent attack, quote, inspired by the events of October 7th, but provided no evidence in support of the claim. Palestinian hospital staff reported afterwards how, quote, they raided one of the patient's rooms and killed him, and people who were in the room with him, his brother and friend. He was a patient, paralyzed and using a wheelchair. Unquote. One might observe that Israel, like the White House, lies about everything, and that is very true, as I just mentioned a little while ago. To be sure, Israel and the United States deservedly continue to be subjected to legal challenges, both internationally and in the United States, over their carrying out of a policy in Gaza that many, including in the International Court of Justice, the ICJ in The Hague, might eventually consider to be a full-scale and active genocide. They didn't quite come out and say the word, but they said, you better do this or else. We might even call it genocide. That's all it amounted to. Quote, to prevent genocidal acts in Gaza and punish incitement for genocide, accepts the possibility of Israel being a perpetrator of genocide, and not just a perpetual historical victim, as it chooses to depict itself. As the court continues to pursue the completely plausible claim of genocide submitted by South Africa and to come to a final ruling, which could easily take months to complete, it has already made history. But in the meanwhile, manipulation of both the judicial and constitutional processes by the United States to support Israel has enabled the Jewish state to keep bombing and killing an average of 300 Palestinians each and every day, while also controlling and cutting off relief supplies desperately needed by the starving and dying 2 million, nearly all civilians, physically imprisoned by the barriers erected by Israeli surrounding Gaza. In the latest act of undoubted collusion staged to kill even more Palestinians, Israel claimed that 12 members of the United Nations Gaza Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, participated in the Hamas October 7th attack on Israel. The UN has fired some of those accused out of its 13,000 employees in the organization, and it is investigating further, but that did not prevent the U.S. from immediately cutting its funding to UNRWA, in spite of the fact that Israel had produced no evidence to back up its claim, and there was no explanation provided why such a report was not issued until more than 100 days after the alleged incident. Timing is everything. Clearly, the moves were pre-planned by President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to help counter the negative impact of the ICJ report, which was released several days prior, and it will accomplish nothing except to increase the misery of the Palestinians. The international focus on Israel and the United States regarding Gaza is because of the widely held and absolutely correct perception that Israel keeps getting away with murder, literally, and Washington is the accomplice in the crime, using its power and United Nations veto to avoid holding the Jewish state accountable for its misdeeds. Ironically, Israeli behavior often negatively impacts on the actual interests of the United States, to include killing American citizens without there being any consequences for the perpetrators. This recklessness has recently been on display not only in Gaza, but also on the occupied West Bank, where just last week another Palestinian-American has been shot dead in what appears to be something like a vigilante killing. According to witnesses, the completely unprovoked recent killing consisted of the fatal shooting of American-Palestinian teen Tawfiq Abdel-Jabbar, 17, a Louisiana native who was driving a pickup truck near his village, Al-Masra's Ash-Sharkiya, on the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Without any warning, a volley of Israeli gunfire struck the back of the truck, hitting Tawfiq in the head and killing him, resulting in the out-of-control vehicle turning over several times on a dirt road. Family members who rushed to the scene were confronted by Israeli soldiers at gunpoint who blocked their access to the truck. In an initial statement, Israeli police admitted that the shooting targeted Tawfiq, but claimed the victim was, quote, purportedly engaged in rock-throwing activities. Oh, they use that same excuse over and over. Police would not identify who fired the shots, but did describe the incident as, quote, ostensibly involving an off-duty law enforcement officer, a soldier, and a civilian, unquote. That suggests an armed settler was involved. The U.S. Embassy has demanded an explanation, but Israel never convicts Jews who kill Palestinians. That is what is expected in this case, which recalls the May 2022 killing by an army sniper of Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akla at a demonstration which she was covering at the Jenin refugee camp in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. She was wearing a clearly identifiable journalist jacket. No one was ever held accountable, and even the Zionist-dominated U.S. State Department eventually believed she had been targeted and deliberately executed. Indeed, there is currently a law pending in the Knesset that blocks prosecution of any Israeli soldier or policeman who kills an Arab. In other words, no accountability, as always. And when it comes to other dead Americans, there is still uninvestigated killing of 34 crewmen on the USS Liberty, which I mentioned earlier, in June 1967 by Israeli warplanes and gunboats. The killing of activist Rachel Corrie by being run over by an Israeli army bulldozer in 2003, and the killing of Turkish-American boy Furkan Dogan and eight others in international waters on the Mavi Marmara ferry in 2010. All they were doing was peaceful protesters against Israel. So what do? They kill them. If Israel decides to kill Americans, it does not hesitate, and the U.S. never does anything but whine after the fact, if that. In that case of the Liberty, the White House and Pentagon actually participated in the cover-up, such is the power of the Israel lobby. So once again, the gloves are off in terms of the abuse that the United States has to take at the hands of, quote, best friend, backstabbing Israel. Particularly now that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and a group of fascist ultranationalists have formed a war cabinet that is intent on driving out or exterminating the Palestinians. Both in Gaza and on the West Bank, any living Palestinian is little more than target practice for the Israeli Defense Force half-trained thugs in uniform. And Netanyahu is not even trying to hide what he wants to do to Palestine. even though he is now running into concern from President Joe Biden, who apparently is afraid that all the bloodshed in Gaza being endorsed and enabled by Washington will damage his reelection prospects. Netanyahu has not budged, however, and has made some significant comments over the past 2 weeks, one of which directly rejects the Biden call to look at options for reviving the so-called two-states plan that would give the Palestinians a mini-state that has actual sovereignty at some level, unlike the almost total military and police occupation by Israel that prevails currently. Speaking at a press conference on January 22nd, Netanyahu insisted that, quote, "I will compromise on full Israeli security control. I will not compromise on full Israeli security control over all the territory west of the Jordan River," unquote. His statement also prefigures an assault on the West Bank and the seizure of all Palestinian-held territory. War would, quote, "continue until the end, until the victory, until the elimination of Hamas, and nothing will stop us. Ending the war prematurely, quote, would harm Israel's security for generations," he said, suggesting this could mean military action continuing until next year. Netanyahu has said that there will be no Palestinian state with actual sovereignty and that Israel will control all of the former historic Palestine. Quote, "from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea." Yes, Netanyahu is using the very words that Israel's friends have condemned as anti-Semitic when used by Palestinian demonstrators in the U.S. objecting to the slaughter in Gaza. Meanwhile, a number of Israeli cabinet and other senior officials have indicated clearly that achieving the goal of an Israeli state incorporating the whole area into what will legally be defined as a Jewish state will be achieved no matter what will have to be done to the Palestinians. This will all start with the ethnic cleansing and resettlement of Gaza by Jews, no matter how long it takes to accomplish, and then we'll proceed to the West Bank. The displacement of the Palestinians is being justified by claiming that the population is not redeemable, as they are nothing but, quote, "terrorists," to include incitement from government officials with comments like, "we will kill the children, otherwise they will grow up to kill Jews." You evil people. To be sure, there has been some pushback against the Netanyahu revelation, coming from many dissatisfied Israelis and even originating within the normally massively pro-Israel U.S. Congress. Calls have come for a ceasefire, and 15 Jewish Democratic congressmen have supported a two-state solution with a Palestine state having true sovereignty. They issued a brief statement saying, quote, "We strongly disagree with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A two-state solution is the path forward." Oh, there's the music. And there will be also something of a rebellion from the civil service. There has been a walkout of employees from Texas besides the administration of the country. Hey, take care of each other. Don't let the bathroom take you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.